Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 813, is Kumada. I'm very happy to speak on this name, and I hope that those listening will also become very happy by hearing the explanation of this name, which is directly connected with happiness, the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's happy to come to this world and reside in this world. This place is certified by the Supreme, always blissful Lord himself as Dukhalayam, a place of intense misery. Again and again and again and again, simply suffering. But when he comes to this world, he never leaves his blissful nature. He's always completely blissful, even in this miserable world. And by his coming to this world, he makes the world happy. And even when he's not personally present in the form of one of his avatars, then even then, simply by hearing about and remembering him, Shrinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram, in this material world which is characterized by repeated birth and death, simply by hearing about him. Sri Jayadeva Kaver Idamuditam Udaram, Shrinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram, Keshavadhritta Dashavidharupa Jay Jagadishare. Poet Jayadev, at the beginning, at the invocation of his celebrated Gita Govinda, says that listening to these prayers, listening to his recitation of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, listening to the activities of the 10 avatars, Dashava, famous Dashavatar, then even in this material world, which is by its very nature miserable, we become very happy and we become very much blessed. So he himself is happy in this world. Parashara Bhatta states that what is his happiness in this world? Why would he want to come to this world? His happiness, Parashara Bhatta explains, is being in the company of his devotees. And of course, he comes to this world, Paritranaya Sadhu Nam. He comes to this world to uplift his devotees and save them from all difficulties. And in this way, he takes great pleasure in doing so. One of the commentators, Sri V.V. Ramanujan, he wonders, how can he be happy? It must be very difficult for him to come to this world. And he particularly, Sri V.V. Ramanujan, cites the case of Lord Rama. Of course, the Supreme Lord is always blissful when he's in this world, but Lord Rama's pastimes especially appear to be of the nature of suffering. And even he himself will find in Aranyakanda that after Sita has been kidnapped, he says to Lakshman, Rama says to Lakshman, that, oh, I was driven out of my kingdom. I had to live in the forest. I lost Sita. And now Jatayu, our father's friend and great well-wisher, he's also been killed. So in this way, Rama's pastimes appear to be full of suffering. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, that devotees, they love to hear the pastimes of Rama again and again and again. And there's great bliss in doing so. So Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, his pastimes, even if superficially seeming to be miserable, are always on the platform of spiritual bliss. Sri V.V. Ramanujan comments that even though he himself, he's seeing the Lord with a mood of seeing him almost as one of us. When Hanuman and so many others, they didn't say to Rama, hey, pull yourself together, come on, you should be blissful. But they didn't think like that. They took him as a human being. They took him as more as a person than as God. They took him more as a person with emotions, desires, feelings, than they did of than seeing him as the great, majestic, all-commanding. And so they sympathized. They felt empathy with his suffering. So V.V. Ramanujan says that, yes, Ram was in this world and he had to go through so much suffering, but still he took pleasure in great personalities. And V.V. Ramanujan especially mentions Bharadwaj, Atri, Agastya, and so many. And he who gladdens the earth, makes the earth very happy. The gopis, they think of Krishna, how the grass is standing erect. That is the hairs on the body of the earth standing erect in happiness, that Krishna is walking on me. She's so happy to receive the touch of his lotus feet. And who is gladdened by the earth? The earth is his wife, after all, especially in Varaha Avatar. And we find in Sri Vaishnava temples especially, the Utsava Murtis, or they're the Shri and Bhu. That means Lakshmi and the earth. So he's very happy that he's, the commentation gives here, that he's very happy with the earth and by extension the whole universe, that he's created it in such a dynamic, complex, interacting way. It demonstrates his omnipotence. Humans, looking at the complexity of the universe, are simply astonished, both looking microcosmically, the proton whizzing around the neutron at 300 trillion revolutions per second. We can't even imagine what that means. And then the vastness of space. We should come to the conclusion that, how great is God? We can't do anything like that. But foolishly, we think, or atheists think, that we can't do anything like that. That means no one else can do anything like that, and that proves there's no God. Idiots. He creates the material world, and he takes pleasure. And at one level, his real pleasure is dancing with his devotees and eating with them, playing with them, joking with them, resting with them, swimming with them. So many activities with his devotees. Fighting with them. Side by side with them, and sometimes one-to-one with them also. His happiness is being with his devotees, but he also takes pleasure. Everything for him is pleasure. His Srishti Leela, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses this term, Srishti Leela. His creating this material world is also one of his pastimes, and he takes pleasure in that. Shankaracharya, he gives the understanding that he takes pleasure in this world means that exactly in line with the Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashayata Dushkritam statement, a very famous statement of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that he takes pleasure in relieving the earth from her burdens, Bhubhara Haran. This term is well known. He who takes away the the weight or the distress of the earth and brings joy to all the beings on the earth. So another commentator, a sub-commentator, Ananta Krishna Shastri, commenting on Shankara's explanation, says that he lightens the burden of the earth. He takes pleasure in lightening the burden of the earth. And how does he lighten the burden of the earth? By destroying the wicked people. And yet another commentator goes further to explain, Radha Krishna Shastri explains this further still, that the main reason for his avatars, we see again and again and again, is to destroy the wicked and protect his devotees. Vyasa Karavalambana Stotram, compiled by Yadavarya Mahan in the Madhva Sampradaya, he lists some of the ways in which the Supreme Lord comes to this world and can be understood to deserve the name or to intrinsically have the name Kumuda. As Matsya Avatar, Lord Vishnu, Paramatma, destroyed Hayagriva and others and brought happiness to the sattvic persons by restoring the Vedas, and therefore he is Kumada. His activities within this world, which bring happiness to him and happiness to the world, and particularly happiness to the devotees, the sattvic souls, the saintly persons. As Kurma Avatar, Yadavarya Mahan explains, in the form of a tortoise, a massive tortoise or turtle, he brought up the Mandara Mountain, which had fallen in the ocean of milk, and putting that Mandara Mountain on his back, he acted as the pivot so that the churning process could continue. And in this way, the demigods got the nectar that they wanted. He brought happiness to them in this world, and therefore he is Kumud. As Varaha, especially, as the matter of giving happiness to the world, we can especially think of Varaha Avatar, because when the earth was very distressed by being fallen down, Varaha picked up the earth and brought happiness to the earth and all the inhabitants, and therefore he's known as Kumud. As Narasimhadeva, he gave great happiness to Prahlad by freeing Prahlad from all the miseries that were imposed on him. Actually, he didn't feel any misery because he is Prahlad, but Nrsimhadev took away all that source of harassment for Prahlad. And in this way, in all the different avatars, Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, this is Vishnu Sahasranam, brought happiness to all the pure souls, or those who are undertaking the process of purification. We can see yet again how the Vaishnav commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam, especially Parashara Bhatta, they emphasize, or they bring out meanings in which they emphasize the Lord's interaction with his devotees, his kindness to his devotees, whereas Shankara brings out the greatness and the majesty of the Supreme Lord. And actually these two points, they coalesce. They're not independent of it. It's not that he's a different person acting in a different way. It's just a different way of looking at him. Another way of looking at it, he brings auspiciousness to the world. This can be understood to mean that he brings auspiciousness to the spiritual world. There's no meaning of the spiritual world without Vishnu. So otherwise, we're talking about the kingdom of God without God. It doesn't make any sense. There is the kingdom of God. It is called Vaikuntha. And the king up there is Vaikuntha. He's also called Vaikuntha, or more commonly, Narayana, Vishnu, or so many names are there. And Viraja Pare, beyond the Viraja, Paravyoma Dham, there is the spiritual world, and then up above that there's the world of Goloka, and Krishna is dancing there. So he brings happiness to the spiritual world. Otherwise, if we only go to the spiritual world but we don't want to recognize Vishnu, Krishna, then we simply buzz around in it, in the Brahma Jyoti. No real fun, no real happiness. We want to have the happiness of spiritual existence without the source of the, or the very meaning of the spiritual world. Then we get a much modified or truncated kind of happiness in the Brahma Jyoti. But to be there also, it's a manifestation of our desire to remain separate from him, which is the root cause for coming to the material world, and therefore we have to come back again to the material world. So the idea of going to heaven and enjoying ourselves is completely wrong. We go there to serve him, then automatically we become happy. Satyadeva Vashishta, in his understanding, gives another interpretation that he who is happy in the sky in the form of the sun. And we can remember the name Araka, which we recently went through in great detail. He who is like the sun. So he's happy as the sun in the sky. Happy sun. Then Kumud also refers to the blue lily or lotus, a particular kind of lotus or lily. So he who has a garland made of these has a nice garland made of beautiful blue lotus flowers. Very nice. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the understanding that Kumada means he who takes pleasure in a place within the heart that is filled with devotion. So within the heart that is filled with devotion, Lord Vishnu is very happy to reside there. He's within everyone's heart, but he takes great pleasure in reciprocating with the devotees within their heart. Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, speaking about this is in a discussion of the great devotees, the topmost devotees, Bhagavat Pradhana. There it is stated, Visrijati hridyang na yasya sakshad dharyar avashabhitopya aghogana shaha pranaya rashanaya dhritang ripadmaha Sabhavati Bhagavata Pradhana Uktaha. Here in this verse comes the term pranaya rashanaya. He who is tied up by the ropes of love. The translation you'll hear in this word, in this verse, hridayam. So that means the heart. So the translation given, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. So this is mentioning the kindness of the Supreme Lord to the conditioned souls. Therefore, when a devotee, now we're talking about devotees, therefore when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus bound the Supreme Lord's lotus feet within his heart with the ropes of love is known as Bhagavata Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. We can also remember a verse which we've heard many times. Srila Prabhupada quoted it many times. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daiva Hridyeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shyama Sundaram Achinta Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original person who is seen within the heart of a devotee whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love. Pure devotee always sees the Supreme Lord within his heart. How does he see him? Shyamasundara, the form of Shyamasundara, composed of transcendental, inconceivable qualities. So the devotee, pure devotee, always takes pleasure in seeing the Lord within his heart. And the Supreme Lord also takes great pleasure in being in the heart of the devotee. He is the heart of the devotee, and the devotee is his heart, as he famously states, Sadhava hridayau mahyam sadhu nang hridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti nahang tebyo managapi. I am in the heart of the devotee, he says, or if you want to take it absolutely literally, I am the heart of the devotee, and the devotee is in my heart. The devotees know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. So this is the Supreme Lord, Kumuda, who rejoices within the heart that is full of devotion. He becomes very, very happy when someone gives up their nonsense ideas and simply wants to fill their heart with love of him. So this is a very happy name. Again, this name is emphasizing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. There are various conceptions of the Supreme Lord, how he is perceived of by different people. I used to hear in my childhood about fear of God. We should fear God. We should fear Satan. Also, it's important for us in our neophyte stage of devotional service to be afraid of Maya. But ultimately, we have to go beyond fear of God, fear of Satan, fear of Maya, to love of Krishna, love of God, the happy platform. Spiritual, transcendental platform, happy platform of love of God. His bliss is emphasized in this name, particularly, that he is bliss. In this name, we don't find retribution and punishment. Well, we have spoken of the Supreme Lord suppressing the demoniac people. He does that with great happiness, to increase the happiness of his devotees who are tortured by demoniac people. But his very nature is bliss. That's it. He is bliss. And he comes this world to make us happy. How does he make us happy? We may pray to God. God, give me more money. God, protect me from all difficulties. Oh God, please. In Atharva Veda, there are some mantras not specifically directed to God, but remove my piles, my hemorrhoids. Many people pray to God like that, just as materialistic people do. Give me a big house, a big car, all these things. But he makes us happy by his own very nature. By giving his association, he makes us happy. And we can actually be happy by understanding that there is no happiness except in serving him and being with him and remembering him and chanting his names, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he comes to this world, he does so in great happiness, not that he comes and he thinks, now it's time for me to go to earth. Okay, all right, I guess it's my duty. Let me go there and get it over with as quick as I can. And he doesn't think like that. He thinks, everything's blissful for him. Just like the cowherd boys when they saw Aghasura, the great python with his mouth wide open, they thought, let's go and have some fun and go enter the mouth of Aghasura. For them, everything is happiness. They can't imagine what it means to be miserable. So Krishna's like that. We may think, well, it must get boring in the spiritual world. It's happy all the time, but it's not like that. It's not like that. The very nature of the spiritual world is a kind of happiness which doesn't diminish. It just increases all the time. Krishna's happiness is in making his devotees happy. And devotees' happiness is in trying to make Krishna happy. That's all. Simple formula. So the secret of happiness is very simple. We can say it in one word. Now you might think, what's the secret of happiness in one word? Is it? Must be love. That sounds good. All right, let's be really specific. The secret of happiness in one word, what is that one word? It is Krishna. And Krishna means love and happiness and everything auspicious, everything good, everything blissful is Krishna. And there's nothing inauspicious, there's nothing to diminish that happiness and goodness. Yeah, goodness is all in Krishna. Everything is Krishna. The secret of happiness. Here we go, folks. The secret of happiness. Here it is. What is it? It is Krishna. All benefit, all welfare, all good for all living beings. We don't have to separately think how to save the earth from global warming and save the earth from the machinations of various demoniac persons and balance the economy and make sure everyone has enough food and wealth and clothing. Just put Krishna in the center. Everything will be adjusted. Krishna is the very meaning of happiness. There's no happiness, benefit, welfare. There's no meaning to happiness, benefit, welfare, or auspiciousness. There's no meaning to it without Krishna. All efforts to be happy in any other way are because we're forgetting Krishna. The reason that we're not happy, the reason that we're looking for happiness, we don't know Krishna. That's it. We're not in our relationship with Krishna, which automatically brings all happiness. There it is. Then why don't people take it? Well, they don't believe it. They believe in being happy in this material world. That one word, just take Krishna, one word. Yes, Krishna is non-different from his name. People don't take it. Why don't they take it? Material contamination, material attachment. To understand that our real benefit is in Krishna only, that may take many, many lifetimes. To understand that all we really need is Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavang maung prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. It may take many, many lifetimes. We're seeking for knowledge. Actually, people are seeking for knowledge. Ultimately, they're not seeking for knowledge for its own sake, but those who are on the spiritual path of jnana, ultimately they're seeking happiness. In the jnana marga, it's more like nullifying or getting free from misery. They're looking for moksha, release from misery. Moksha, the idea of moksha, getting released from misery, it's not a very positive platform. Brahma jignasa, inquiring about the ultimate truth, for most of those who inquire in the ultimate truth, they're doing so to get free from the miseries of not being in Brahma consciousness, of being in material consciousness. But beyond simply looking for release from the misery is the search for happiness, and may take many lifetimes. One who's on the path of trying to work everything out by his own intelligence, then it may take him many lifetimes to come to the point of understanding Krishna, Vasudeva, is all in all, and then to surrender to him. Very rare. Muktanapi siddhanam vasudeva parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Even among many highly elevated spiritual personalities, even among many liberated and or even who are considered spiritually perfect beings, to find someone who is fully attached to Vasudev and who is thus fully peaceful in their heart, very rare to find, maybe among many, many, many millions, someone actually comes to the point of understanding Krishna. So we're searching in various ways for happiness. In so many ways, in so many lifetimes, we're searching for happiness. But until we come to that point of Krishna, even if we become in other ways very spiritually elevated, unless we come to the point of understanding Krishna, then we don't come to the point of real happiness, because our constitutional position is to be with Krishna. It's not just a matter even of understanding that our happiness is Krishna, but actually surrendering to Krishna. There are some terms and conditions for being in Krishna consciousness. It's not just by saying, yes, okay, now after many, many lifetimes I understood I have to surrender to Krishna, but we actually have to enter the contract. What is that contract? Sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tva sarvapabhebhyo moksha yishyami ma shuchaha. Krishna says, give up all other endeavors to be good, to be happy, to be spiritual. Just surrender to me only. I will deliver you from all miseries. From all misery means what? It's reactions to our sinful activities. Krishna says, don't worry, I will protect you. So, that may take many lifetimes, or if one is fortunate, he can immediately take to it without any delay. It doesn't require, or it shouldn't require, so much intelligence to understand that all our own plans to be happy, which we're trying life after life, they don't make us happy. We have so many schemes and plans and government projects and alternative ways of living. They don't work at all. All our man-made schemes, they just lead us to another kind of misery, that's all. One kind of misery. That's all misleading, all these different ideas and promises. Ultimately, it all comes to distress. Well, what's the problem? Why is it so frustrating? Nate vidu svartagating hi vishnam durashaye bhairatamaninas andhayatandai rupaniyamanas te pishatantriya murudamni bandha. We don't recognize that our real goal of life, our real self-interest is simply in Vishnu. And instead, we try so many other things, all floating around on the external platform, mental platform, so many desires, all bouncing off in the wrong way. We take someone as a leader. Yes, yes, I have got the scheme to make you happy. And then we try someone else. But we're all blind, following the blind. We all end up in the ditch, and all our plans and endeavors, they just entangle us more and more and more and more and more in the miseries. Therefore, Krishna says, Mame Kamsa, Sarvadhaman Purujanja, give up all these ideas, just surrender to me. Only. But we're attached to the idea of happiness in this material world. What is that happiness? Vishayendriya samyogam yatadagre mritopamam parirame vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. This mode of passion in which we're looking for instant benefits by interacting the senses with the sense objects. And it seems to work. Yes, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful in the beginning. But automatically, again and again and again, it goes to distress. That is happiness in the mode of passion. So the happiness formula is Krishna. One word, or you can expand it, 1,000 words, 1,000 names, Vishnu Sahasranam. Or we can simply say Krishna and call out, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. He doesn't give terms and conditions. He just asks us to chant Hare Krishna. Well, if you're going to get serious, then there is this Vishayacharya. We have to give up sense gratification. But in the beginning, we just call everyone, just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant, chant, chant. One word, happiness formula. Krishna! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakra. Dante Nitaya Churna Kung Padayani Padya Kritvaja Kakushata Medara Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durat Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutana Raga Parivada Tujano Yatata Tavana Mukurana Vayam Vicharayama Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vidutama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.